just said already. It's always good to be here. It is good to see Brother Ken again. I mean, I haven't called you because I didn't want to aggravate you. I know the phone wears you out. So I tried my best to leave you alone. I did call check on you through your wife, but I didn't want to aggravate you. But it's good to see you again. I know God gave me this about 2 weeks ago. When I actually left the last service, God gave me something, which is very rare. Most of the time, you sweat bullets to time, you know. But God said, this is what I want, and this is when I want it. So, I don't know who it's for. It's probably for all of us. The Word of God is good for anybody. If you're lost, you need it. If you're saved, you need it. It's just good for us all. It's either admonition to the lost or food for the saved. So it's always good for us. I do my very best to deliver it without adding any of my own thoughts. Sometimes it's easy to get up here and things run through your mind. I like to just give what God says, you know, because He's the one who feeds the church. Man's words can just, you know, entertain you, but I'm not here to entertain you. I'm not very entertaining anyway, but I'm here to give you what God said to give you. So before I begin, I want to ask God to bless it, because if He don't bless it, we can just waste a high fire 4 or 5 minutes and go home and nobody gets anything. You know, and I don't want to waste my Friday night. We could be doing lots of things. We could be down at the racetrack. We got a race going on tonight, I assume. There's all kinds of things going on. But I chose to come because I feel like God wants us here. And I want to redeem His time. You know, we don't ask a whole lot from us. It's just a reasonable service. He's not an unreasonable God. So I just want to give Him what He stands in need of and give Him His just due, you know. Father, we come to You thanking God for how You bless us, Father. You see You brought a congregation of people together here again, Father. You know the needs that we're going to be here. You know when You gave us this message, who would be here and what the needs would be. So I pray, God, You might help me to remember exactly what You told me to say, and I would be willing and obedient to deliver it without fear or favor of man, dear God. We pray, God, You'd help us as we stand here. Give us strength to remember. Give us strength to deliver, Father. We pray, God, that people's ears would be anointed, God, so they can hear and apply what they hear tonight, God. We pray, God, You bless the next little bit, Father, as we try to look through Your Word, Father, and find encouragement from Your Word in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I want to begin by asking a question. Are you happy? I mean, really, genuinely happy. When the party's over, when the money runs out, when the car gets hit, when you ain't got nothing to eat in the house, are you really happy? There's more to happiness than possessions. A lot of people have possessions, but are miserable. You can have all this world's goods and be a miserable person. The richest man of his time, Herbert Hoover, I think it was him, starved to death. He was a miserable man. He had all... Was it Herbert Hoover? Howard Hughes, that's him. One of those guys. Either way. He died, and I know there's somebody who had all of this world's good. At the time, he was the richest man of his era, and he starved to death. He died of malnutrition. What a miserable way to die. So there's more to it. So my question is, are you truly, genuinely, deep down in your heart, when nobody's around and you ain't got nothing, are you truly happy? If not, there's a reason for that. When God created man, He created a special place in man's heart, in man's soul, that would only be filled by His presence. There's a God-shaped void in your heart that nothing else will supply. And I don't care if you have all the money, all the wealth, all the possessions, all the whatever. You put all the stuff in the list, and it's not going to satisfy. It may dull your senses. It may make you forget for a little while. But when it's all said and done, there's still that nagging void in your heart because He made it special that way. So that way, He's the only one who can fill it. So if you're not happy, truly satisfied, when everything's gone, it maybe it's because that void ain't been filled. So now, I can say, Brother Casey, that money don't bring happiness because I ain't never had a bunch of it. So my testimony, that's not a good sell because I ain't got much to tell you about. But let me tell you about a guy who had it all. And he had more than anybody in his time period and up to today. And he said there's nothing there to make you happy. If you look in Ecclesiastes, written by the book by Solomon, I assume most of you know it, but I'm going to play like you don't. Solomon was a king, the greatest king of his time period, And even today, nobody has surpassed his accomplishments. He built up more kingdoms. He had more things than anybody else in history. But let's see what he has to say about it. In Ecclesiastes, the first chapter, in verse 12, it says, I, the preacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem. And I gave my heart to seek and to search out wisdom concerning all the things done under heaven. Now, first of all, it's not in knowledge and wisdom. You can have 14 degrees. You can have a DD, double LD. You can have this, that, and the other, PhD, RSVP, all those different things. But it doesn't bring happiness. Because he said he sought out wisdom and understanding, and this was sore travail, the sore travail God hath given the sons of men to be exercised therewith. So it doesn't matter your education. If you could drop out of high school and work at McDonald's and be happy with these guys with all these degrees, got all this money, they don't have any happiness. They're always after the next fix. They're always after the next fancy car, the next this, the next that, trying to fill a void. They think, if I can just get this, if I can just get that, I'll be happy. And it never brings happiness with it again. You don't actually have any happiness. It just fills a certain time period, then it goes away. All cars, even Fords, deteriorate. They may deteriorate slower, but they do deteriorate. Cars do not bring happiness. Possessions don't bring happiness. It's that having your soul filled with God, because that's the only thing that will fit. Nothing else will fill its place. I started to bring one of those little kids' squares that's got the circles and squares and triangles. We didn't have one. We don't have any kids at the house. Hadn't had for a long time. But to show you, if it was a square hole, a circle won't fit. A triangle won't fit. It has to be a square. Same way with your heart. There's a void in your heart that if he don't fill it, it will always be lacking.
Right.
I'm going to read some things that Solomon tried. He tried wisdom. He tried understanding. He said, it's vain and it's sore travail. He said, I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity. Didn't he hear the word vanity? He's not talking about the place where you wash your face in the bathroom. That's a vanity, but that's not what he's talking about. He's also not talking about vanity that you have when you sit and comb your hair for 2 hours. That's not the vanity he's talking about. This vanity he's talking about is worthless. It ain't no good. It has no profit. So he said, all that's done under the sun is vanity. There's no profit in any of it. And vexation of the spirit, or in other words, troubling of your spirit. It doesn't bring satisfaction. It brings troubling. Whenever you try, if you're seeking for pleasure to fill it, it's never going to be satisfied. It's always going to be trouble in your heart. What's missing? What's missing? And I'm going to tell you something now. I'm getting ahead of myself, but this that I'm reading here is from Solomon 4,000 years ago. But I'm bringing it up to date. Tom Brady, quarterback for the Patriots, I believe it is. 4 Super Bowl rings, I think, is what they tell me. Makes $12 million a year. He's a religious man. When they asked him in an interview about his life, he said, there's got to be more to life than this. I mean, he's religious. He got all kind of money. A guy named T.O., Terrell Owens, played for so many different teams. But he had money, possession, women, everything. He had all kind of stuff. You know what he tried to do? He tried to commit suicide because there was no happiness in it. This, what I'm telling you, is a relevant story as of today. It's as fresh as tomorrow's paper. It's never going to get changed. It says, that which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. I commune with my own heart, saying, lo, I am come to great estate, and have gotten more wisdom than all that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart had great experience in wisdom and knowledge. I gave my heart to know wisdom, and to know madness and folly. I perceive this also is vexation of spirit. For in much wisdom is much grief. And for he that increaseth in knowledge, increaseth in sorrow. So for all those years spent trying to gain satisfaction through degrees, all it does is bring more problems. The higher up, if you want to be the highest in your company, it doesn't only bring more money, but it brings more grief. You go home with those guys who are the CEOs, if they ever go home, because they're always living there to get to that satisfaction. They think they're chasing a dream that's going to bring satisfaction. They don't. They have miserable lives. I worked with a guy at Ford Place, and he was there all the time. He wouldn't hardly ever go home. He made $25,000 a month, but he was miserable. Miserable. He had 2 houses. He had a fancy house, a small $300,000 house on the lake, in a big $700,000 house in South Carolina. And he was miserable, making $25,000 a month. So I know this is personal. I know I can give you his phone number. You can call him and ask him. There's no happiness in chasing things. And if you go down into the second chapter, now he's going to list a bunch of things, his accomplishments. This is his pedigree. This is what he attained. When he gets done, he'll tell you how worthless they are. He said, I said in mine heart, go to now. I will prove thee with myrrh. Therefore, enjoy pleasure. There is, and I don't want to make you think that there's no pleasure in sin. I'd be a liar. Because you know, Brother Casey, if there wasn't no pleasure in sin, how would the devil draw you? If he said, why don't you come over here, let me give you a lung cancer. Let me just kill you. Would you want to go? No, but he says, why don't you take a puff of this? See what you think about that. Ain't this good, ain't it? If he told you that, I'm going to give you cirrhosis of the liver, would you want that? No. But he'll give you an offer, a can of beer or some alcohol. There is pleasure in sin, but it don't last very long.
Right,
if you ask Solomon, not Solomon, but Moses, he said he chose rather to be suffer the afflictions of the children of Israel than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. There will be pleasure, and the thing about pleasure too is it's never enough. If you smoke pot today, pot won't do it forever. You got to get a little harder, a little harder, a little harder. I've never done any of those drugs, but I've heard that it's just a doorway, a gateway drug to get you in. Alcohol, you start at the wine cooler, then you got to go to beer, then you go to the harder. It never satisfies. These things will never satisfy. There's a hole, Brother Casey, that God only can fill. No matter what you try, you can fit and cram, and your life can be so busy you don't have time for anything. But there is no satisfaction in that. You're just busy. Don't think busyness is satisfaction. I didn't write it down, but I read it a while ago. It says in 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, men think that that great gain is godliness. Just because you got a lot of stuff is godliness. Let me go to that. Hold your finger in Ecclesiastes. I should have wrote that one down. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And for sake of context, I'll start in verse 3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strife of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain, or just because you got all these things, is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing in this world, and certain we can take nothing out. Having food and raiment, therefore, therewith be content. You know, I've said it before. I live in a single wide trailer and drive a 95 Toyota. If that don't humble you, nothing will. But I'm happy. Tickle pink. I don't have the miserable worries about a big mortgage that I can't pay. I don't have to worry about something that I can't do. Godliness with contentment is great gain. I'm not chasing after the big fancy stuff. It's all going to perish anyway. Like Brother Randy said one time, it's all junk. It's all going back to the dirt, to the dust, and it's never going to last anyway. So why should I waste my time and God's time chasing for something that's not going to bring satisfaction anyway? Yes.
You may not see it burn, but you're going to leave it.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. My brother Andy said also, never seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul. You can't take it with you. So why should we spend it? Another scripture comes to mind. It says, why do you spend your money for that which is not bread? In other words, why are you buying something, buying into a mentality that's not bringing any happiness? I may not have a bunch, but boy, I'm tickled. I'm happy. I'm tired, but I'm happy. back in Ecclesiastes, like I said, I can say these things because I've never had anything. But Solomon, he has been on the other side. He's how the other half lives. And after having it and enjoying it for a little while, then he tells of his tales, and this is a different story. He says, back up one verse. I said of laughter, it is mad. Of myrrh, what doeth it? I sought in my heart to give myself to wine. So he tried alcohol. He thought maybe if I could just drink my problems away. You know, if you try to drink your problems away, all you do is get drunk. forget what you do. You wake up, the problems are still there. You didn't accomplish anything but waste some money on alcohol and sin against God in the process. It doesn't do any good. It's worthless. It's vanity. It says, yet acquainted my heart with wisdom. He tried to be a drunkard and a wisdom. You can't be that way. You can't. It's an oxymoron to be a drunk and be wise. You can't do that. And lay hold on folly till I might see what was good for the sons of men, which should do under the heaven all the days of their life. I made them great works. Now here you go. He's going to list all his possessions, or at least a portion of his possessions. Things that he accomplished, things he accumulated. Here's his pedigree, he says. I made the great works. I built me houses. But Casey, you got a pretty nice house. You've had three houses since I've known you, but you know what you've done the right way. You started small. You sold and got bigger. He didn't do that. He had a big one, and he wanted a big one, so he kept both of them. So he didn't just have a house. He had houses. So it wasn't in a house because he never did satisfy. He always had to have another one. Of course, with 1,000 women, he probably needed a place to go. That's probably why he had more houses. I don't know. That's, you know, I'll get out of there before I get in trouble. It's I planted me vineyards. He had places. He had wine. He had grapes. He had all this stuff. He made his own wine. He had a lot of things. I made me gardens and orchards and planted trees in them, all kinds of fruit. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth the trees. I got me servants and maidens. He didn't even have to turn his hand in his house. If he wanted something done, he'd say, you go or you go. I mean, so now it's not about, he's a king. He's got women. He's got houses. He's got gardens. He's got fruit. He's got people to wait on hand and foot. Still ain't bringing no happiness. See a pattern here. It's nothing bringing happiness. It says, and had servants born in my house. I had also great possessions. Possessions of great and small cattle. So he was a farmer, and he was a rancher, a gardener, a drinker, a king, but a fool. He chased all these things, and it was foolish. Keep reading, he says, I gathered also silver and gold. I looked at that word gather in Greek. And we think gather, I just gather. It means he collected, he heaped up. He was a pack rat. He just piled it away. You know, whenever Brother Casey, when people came to see him, now he's a king, and most times kings are equal, you know. But he was a king above kings. When the kings came to him, they bowed to him. And they brought him gold and silver and precious jewels. I mean, this is unheard of. They brought him this stuff. And all he did was sit back and just gather it in. He had so much gold that he had Dixie cups. We use these red Dixie cups. We use one. Sometimes my mama, she'll keep them until they start splitting, but eventually she throws them away. Most time we throw them away the first use. You go on a picnic, you throw them away. He had gold cups. He'd drink out one time and didn't even wash it. Just pitch it in the trash. That's how much gold he had. It's like the guy took his trash out, you know? But anyway, I mean, so he had gold and silver abundantly. I mean, he even sat on gold. His throne was gold and ivory. So, I mean, he had riches untold. Makes Bill Gates look like he's a chump, you know? He said, I got me men singers and women singers. So it's not about music. You know, some people like to take music and drown out their problems. I used to do that when I was in sin. I'd be jamming. I'm on the highway to hell. And whenever I cut the music off, everybody was gone. I started realizing, I'm on the highway to hell. And it scared me to death. God started dealing with me. You can drown it out for a little while, but eventually you got to turn the radio off. If he got depressed, he could just call his own live orchestra in. Yeah. And they could sing to him. And they sang till he was done. Not till they got tired. He had everything, Brother Casey. It says, lost my place. They had men singers, women singers, and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments, and that of all sorts. He had everything you can imagine. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem, and my wisdom retained with me. Whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from. You ever, in case you had a gadget or a trinket that you wanted, but you knew you couldn't afford it, or you just didn't buy it? He went no way. He went to Walmart, he seen it, he got it. There was nothing that he wanted that he didn't get. You know, he just put it in the buggy. We're taking it, you know. And whatever he wanted. Could you imagine having an endless supply of money? You could go to any store, and you could buy the store if you wanted it. He said, if I wanted it, I got it. So it's not in pleasure. It's not in things. Whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy. For my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was the portion of my labor. Now, after all those things, his accomplishment. But again, I doubt very seriously that you hurry up, that you're ever going to catch him as far as possessions.
Maybe in a couple centuries.
Yeah. Well, see, but I don't believe that you're chasing after that. If you are, you're not doing a very good job of it. But the thing about it is, after he got all these things, see what he had to say about it. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, behold, all was vanity, worthless. That golden throne I was sitting on, worthless. Throw it in the trash. It ain't no good. He didn't bring happiness. He had a golden throne for his mama to sit on right beside him. He had golden lines coming up to him. He had golden cups. He had golden everything. He said it's worthless. He had houses. He had land. He had his own cities for nothing but chariots. He had his own pools. He had everything. He said it's all worthless. What good is this? Ain't bringing no happiness. I'm a miserable man. I've chased. I've played the fool. Like Saul said, I've played the fool. Chased after something that was empty, worthless, didn't bring any happiness. Because it cannot. I don't care how much you attain, it will never fill the void that God made especially for him. I looked at all the works that my hands had wrought and on the labor I had labored to do. And behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit. Most of the time, Brother Casey, the more you got, the more friends you attract, or so-called friends.
Yeah.
Because they expect their share. So he says that all these things brought vexation of spirit. In other words, the more stuff I had, the more people I had with their hands out. So there was no joy in that, no happiness in that. And I turned myself to behold wisdom and madness and folly. For what can a man do that cometh after the king? Even that which hath been done already. Then I saw that wisdom exceeded folly, as far as the light exceeded darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head. He ain't always looking for the next thing. He ain't always looking for the next kick, the next fix. He knows where he can afford it and he stays there in it. And he's content. He's the wise man, but again, he doesn't say it, but I'm going to paraphrase, and I think I'm doing injustice to Scripture. The wise man seeks after God, and all other things come later. If I get a nice Ford truck, I get one. If I don't, so what? That's no big deal. I can't take it with me anyway. If I get a nicer house, great. If not, I'm happy where I'm at. If I can put God first and fill that void, you can be happy broke. You can be happy hungry. You can be happy with nothing. But Casey, if you lost that big house and you lost all your cars and your wife had to go to work and you had to live in a single wide trailer, could you still be happy? If God's the center of it, and I'm not saying anything that God's blessed you with is wrong. May God bless you with more. But if that is what you were chasing after, if God was not the center and you lost it all, those people that came home, I heard about it during this past layoff spurt. He came home. He lost his job. He came home, shot his wife, shot his kids, shot himself, because he had no hope. He didn't even go looking for a job. He just got laid off, went straight home, killed everybody. Because his hope was in that job. It didn't fulfill what he needed. That's terrible. And that was just one of many, many cases. People's hope was in the wrong thing. If you seek for pleasure and happiness, you won't find pleasure and happiness. You seek for God, and you find happiness and pleasure. Because He's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you think or ask. Could you imagine, Brother Casey? I can think of some things I'd like for him to do for me. He can go exceedingly, abundantly, above all that. Not just what I can say, but what I can think. Why would I not want to chase after him? David said, as a deer pants after the brook. Have you ever seen a deer been chased by a dog? Well, he's pretty thirsty, tired, and tongue hanging out, wanting something to drink. It will do anything to get to that water. It says, as the deer pants after the river, so does my soul after you. Do we search for God like a deer that's dying for that water? We'll give up anything to get to that water. Will we give up anything to get to God? If you're willing to do that, then you'll find satisfaction beyond belief. There's a song Sister Anna sings. He's more wonderful. What was the song? He's more than wonderful. More than amazing, more than more than miraculous, more than all of whatever it says. You cannot describe him. Words can't describe him. If you're not seeking after him, you're not going to find it. You're always going to be looking for something else. Like Sister Clark sings a song, "Hallelujah, I have found it. Jesus has filled my every desire," whatever it was. But said, "Hallelujah, I found it. I don't look for nothing else but him. Anything I get above salvation is gravy. God's blessed me, I'm happy." Godliness with contentment is great gain. I'm the richest poor man you ever meet. Because I'm happy, and I've got treasures beyond measure, but they're not here. I can't cash them out and give them to you, but I can show you where you get your own treasures at. That's what I'm trying to do tonight.
Amen.
It says, "The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness. I myself perceive also that one event happened to us all." But Ken, you may be the pastor at Marion, but the same things will happen to you as Shelley and Zion. We're all going to the grave. So no matter your position in life, no matter your stature, no matter your intellect, you're all going to die. But cheer up, you're going to die. You know? For the Christian, that's a good thing. Because this is the... If you're a Christian and you're looking for that, this is the worst it's ever going to get. It's all up here from here. You know? So one thing happens to an all. "Then I said in my heart, as it happened to the fool, so it happened even unto me. Why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart, this also is vanity." It's all worthless. If you go down to verse 24, it says, "There is nothing better for a man that he should eat and drink, that he should make his soul enjoy the good of his labor. This I saw that it was in the hand of God. For who can eat, or who else can hasten unto more than I? For God giveth to man that is good in his sight, wisdom, knowledge, and joy. But to sinner he giveth travail, to gather, to heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. This is vanity and vexation of spirit." Luke the 12th chapter. Luke 12 and verse 15. He said unto them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consists not in the abundance of things which he possesses." I am not what I drive. I am not where I live. I am not where I work or who I know. I am a son of the living God. He makes me happy. He makes me where I'm at. He gives me. He has exalted me into heavenly places. Why do I look for things on earth just to weigh me down? But again, there's what I call the curse of blessings. I've seen a lot of people do great spiritually until God blessed them with a lot of things. And those things start taking them away from God. So it's a curse of blessings. I'm not saying that if you got some money in your pocket that you're going to hell. You need money in your pocket. What I'm saying is, if that's what you're chasing after, it didn't say that the love of money, it didn't say that money was root of all evil. It said the love of money.
Right.
You know, Brother Casey, you could be flat broke and have the love of money. You could be always a miser hunting for the next dollar and have the love of money and go to hell. Or you could be like Abraham, who's rich, and give away a lot of stuff and make it to heaven. It's not about the amount. It's about the intent of the heart, what you're looking for, what are you seeking after. I've already quoted this, but in Hebrews 11 it said that pleasure is a short season. It don't last. It's like it comes and it goes. I always got to have the next fix. Never can satisfy. Philippians, the 3rd chapter. That was 4,000 years ago that Solomon did these things. Bring you up to date, 2,000 years closer. Paul, man, he had a lot of wisdom. He could speak 8 languages. I have a hard time with English, but he could speak 8 languages. He was very educated. He was a tent maker. He had a lot of things that I like to be able to do. But he gives his pedigree of what he's accomplished. See what he has to say about it. Philippians, the 1st chapter. Maybe the wrong one. That's not where he gives his... No, I'm sorry. Philippians, the 3rd chapter. What did I tell you? Philippians 3. Philippians 1 is the next. Philippians 3, 1 through 10 says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me is not, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil work. He's not talking about German shepherds. Which, you know, if they're mean, you might need to beware of them. But especially if you've got some of these houses, it's kind of mean. But he's not talking about that. He's talking about people that are just mean-spirited people. Beware of dogs. The Bible says in Revelation, it says, for without a dog. He's not talking about dogs. He's talking about people that have a dog-like nature. Beware of evil workers. Beware of concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man think he hath worth, that he might trust in the flesh, I'm more. If anybody in this room thinks you're doing anything for God, sit back and listen to Paul brag a little bit. He said, let's see what he had to say. He says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man think he hath worth, he might trust in the flesh, I'm more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Touching righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. You couldn't look in, walk up and say, Paul, you're guilty of this, you're guilty of that. There was nothing in the law that you could point to and say that you're wrong. So you can may be legalistic and may think that you're doing something, but you're just a legalist. If you're just living to the letter of the law but have no love in your heart, you're wasting your time. It says, concerning zeal, persecuting church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But those things which have gained to me, and that pedigree that is behind him, he said, I am this, I am that. He said, I counted but loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung. You know what dung is? What you flush. He said, all my accomplishments, I can flush it in the toilet. It ain't no good. It's worthless. It's vanity. Same thing that Solomon said. He said it's terrible. He said, I counted it that way that I might win Christ and be found in Him, not have mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ and the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him. He said, but Ken, forget that I can speak eight languages. Forget I sat under Gamaliel, the great teacher of my time. Forget all the things I've done. I'd rather know Jesus Christ and Him crucified than all these things. He said, that's more important to me, to know that I'm right with God and to know the power of His resurrection. What's the power of His resurrection? Power over sin. If we don't get no power over sin, we ain't met Jesus, because He came to give us victory over sin. He delivers from that. He said, I'd rather be a lowly tent maker. He didn't say it, but his way was a profession, was a tent maker. I'd rather be that and have nothing. Throw away all my talents, throw away all my degrees, and know Jesus than have all that. He says, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. He said, I want a fellowship in His suffering. Now, how many of you want to be crucified? Physically, I don't. I don't like pain. I'm allergic to it. But I do want to be crucified. Physically, spiritually.
Right.
If we're not crucified with Christ, we can't raise with Him.
Right.
If we don't die, we can't live with Him. And I'm not talking about just mass suicide. I'm talking about we need to die out to ourselves. Our desires, our ideas have to be crucified that we might live to Jesus Christ. And be made conformable unto His death. And then over in Philippians, the first chapter, verse 21 says, for me to live is Christ. He said, if I'm going to live, I'm going to be a Christian. There ain't no ifs, ands, or buts. If I'm alive, you can count on it, I'm a Christian. But if I die, it's even better. I've gained. He said, I love to live for God, but I'd rather die and be with God. John, the fourth chapter. Verse 1 through 15. I'm not going to read it for space of time because it's a very familiar story. But it's about the woman at the well. Jesus came to her and tried to talk to her, and she started being defensive. And she said, you know, He said, if you knew who I was, you'd ask of me of water, and I'd give you water that you'd never thirst again. I know He's not talking about this year, because I about drunk sorry that, and I'm still thirsty. So it's not that kind of water. That don't satisfy. It doesn't keep you from getting thirsty again. He said, if you'd ask me, I'd give you something you'd never thirst again. When I found Jesus, I quit looking. I was 150% satisfied. I'm a satisfied customer. Tell everybody I know. I know we can get a drink that you'll never thirst again. Water don't satisfy. Pepsi don't satisfy. Food don't satisfy. And it may curb your hunger and curb your thirst for a short time, but you always come back. I have to have more. When I met Jesus for 10, I quit looking. There ain't nothing else this world has to offer me. You can have my share. I don't need it. I don't want it. I'm satisfied with what I got. But anyway, he said, if you'd come to me, I'd give you something. Man, you'd never have to look for something again to fill that void. He is the what fills that void. He made the void, and only He can fill it. In Ecclesiastes 12, why were you created? People say, "For why am I here? What's my purpose in life?" I can tell you in one scripture what your purpose is. Everybody in here, regardless of gender, regardless of education, this is your purpose. Ecclesiastes 12 and 13 says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. If you want to know the whole matter, if you want to know why you were created, why you were born, fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. That's the whole reason you was born. You weren't born to pasture. You weren't born to build cabinets. You weren't born to build furniture or to work in Bernhardt furniture. You were born for no other reason to fear God and keep His commandments. The other things are your side things. Your main goal is while you're at furniture place, while you're building cabinets, to be pleasing God. That's what satisfies. That's what brings the comfort. It says, for God shall bring every work into judgment, and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Psalms 119 and 174. I have longed for Thy salvation, O Lord, and Thy law is my delight. How many of us can say that this Word of God is my delight? This is what makes me happy. To please God makes me happy. I can say that, and I hope you guys can too. Whenever God's happy, I'm happy. You heard the old saying, if mom ain't happy, ain't nobody happy? Take it over spiritually. When God ain't happy, you ain't happy. The Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of living God. People, there's one scripture says that one guy said he thought it was a light thing to sin against God. It's no big deal. I'll just commit adultery. I'll just this. I'll steal this. I'll that. No big deal. It's just a light thing. It's a dangerous thing to sin against God. People have lost their fear of God. But he says, I have longed for Thy salvation, O Lord, and Thy law is my delight. Jeremiah, the 31st chapter. Jeremiah 31 and 12. Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion. If you don't know what that is, we're in Zion tonight. Zion is the mountain of God. It's where God's people dwell. We live on Mount Zion. That's what Zion is talking about. He's not talking about a literal mountain over in the desert. He's talking about the place where God's people dwell. Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord, for wheat and wine and for oil and for the young of the flock and of the herd, and the soul shall be as watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. Thank God I ain't got to worry about it. Look, when I was lost, I'd cry myself sleep at night, worrying if I died. Cry myself sleep at night. God would say, why? When was the last time you was happy, son? I say, when I was serving you. Well, thank God since I got saved, I ain't got to go to bed and cry anymore. If I go to bed and cry, see, rejoicing tears. It's not a fear of having to face God, knowing I was wrong. He said, they shall not sorrow anymore at all. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, both young men and old together. For I will turn their mourning into joy, and will comfort them, and make them rejoice in their sorrow. I will satiate. That word satiate means I will satisfy the soul, not the flesh. But again, serving God don't always please the flesh. Most of the time it don't please the flesh, because we don't live in the flesh. If we are living to fulfill the lusts and desires of our flesh, we're not satisfied. We're not pleasing God or ourselves. He said, I will satiate, or I will satisfy the soul of the priest with fatness, and my people will be satisfied with my goodness, saith the Lord. And I got a short chain here. I can read this song to you. If I can find it. Huh? 76, you know what I'm looking for? Satisfied with my soul? I thought it was 74, that's close. It satisfies my soul. It was a song in the Evening Light songbook. It says, second verse says, salvation is unmeasured grace. It fits us for the Christian race. Unveils the Father's smiling face. It satisfies my soul. I'll skip down to one that I like. It says, salvation makes us happy here. I don't have to wait till I get to heaven to be happy again. Salvation makes me happy here, surpassing all that earth holds dear. It's flowing rivers, and it fills a drooping heart with cheer. It satisfies my soul. Salvation richer far than gold, than glittering gems that turn to mold. Its wealth no language can be told. It satisfies my soul. It satisfies my soul. It satisfies my soul. This wonderful salvation, how it satisfies my happy soul. Thank God I'm happy. I mean, I have nothing to show you tonight. But I am happy. God has blessed me with a lot of things. Spiritually, not materially, but I'm satisfied. Now I ask you, like I first started, now, after hearing that, are you happy? Has the void been filled? If not, it can be filled tonight. If you don't have that deep, settled peace when you lay your head at night, you don't have that peace I'm talking about. If you don't have this void filled by God, you'll never be happy. You'll chase things, you'll chase people, you'll chase places. You'll never satisfy it. So my question is, are you happy? If not, why not? And tonight can be the night. Come on, Brother Robert.